Kick-Ass Vets, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's Anne again with Kick-Ass Vets, and today we are going to talk about why you should fire bad clients. We're going to talk about why you should fire them, the emotional and financial costs associated with these bad clients. We're going to talk about which clients you should focus on firing and what are signs that you should fire a client. And we're also going to talk about how to fire a client. So it's going to be a bit of a long one. So let's jump right into it. The first thing would be if you're a manager or you're a boss, you're thinking, any business is good business, right? Why would I ever fire a client? A client is someone that is coming in and bringing money into my business. And if I fire them, then they might tell other people and other people won't come. You probably feel like you shouldn't fire any clients, but you're wrong. There are clients that you should fire. There are huge costs associated with bad clients. There are emotional costs to keeping these bad clients, and there are financial costs to keeping these bad clients. So we're going to jump into first the emotional costs of keeping these bad clients. If you have a client that comes in and is aggressive, abusive, and as a boss, you support this client. So you give them discounts, you cap their bills, you take their side, even when they're completely lying. You don't trust your staff or you don't care that your staff are telling the truth. And you always take the side of the client. What do you think that's doing to your staff? Your staff need to feel supported. They need to feel protected. They need to feel valued. And that's such an important part of any job and being happy in any job. And when you listen to these clients and believe or even give in to their lies, if you give them discounts when your staff has worked so incredibly hard to get a certain outcome or have certain conversations, or if you just go behind your staff's back and give the client what they ask for, even though your staff has had the conversation of, no, we can't do this because of X, Y, and Z, then you're basically telling your staff, I don't care about your opinion. I don't have your back. I don't trust you or don't believe you. And the clients are more important. And this leads to staff feeling that they're not supported, they're not protected, they're not valued, and they can't trust their employer. And that leads them to not caring about the business. When you're working for a business as a staff member, as an employee, it's really important that you can, I have a really good friend that used the term, wear the shirt of the company. And I love that. You know, you want to be proud. You want to put on that uniform. You want to put on that name tag. You want to be proud and be able to say, yes, I work for this clinic. This clinic is great. We do good medicine. And you really want to be able to wear the shirt of that business. And when you are not treated in a way where you feel valued and you feel protected, you don't want to wear the shirt of that business. You just go in, punch your time clock, and you leave. And not only that, you become a disgruntled employee. So you are unhappy at work. That means that you're not promoting a positive atmosphere at work. That negative atmosphere that that individual staff member is promoting is going to spread to other staff members. They're going to complain to other staff members who are going to commiserate with them, especially in a female dominated profession, you know, with stitch and bitch, venting, all of that is more seen in female dominated professions than male. And you're going to get a group of staff that are unhappy in their workplace. And that means that they're not going to do those extra little things to wear the shirt. If they're cleaning something, they're not going to care that it's very clean and perfect. They're going to care that it's acceptable to get the job done. When you're talking about interactions with clients, you know, they're not going to, your associate vets aren't going to put themselves out there and really promote your business. They're just going to be like, yeah, well, you could do it here. Or, you know, maybe they know that their friend does it at another clinic down the road that does it cheaper or does it better or whatever. You need your staff to really believe and trust in the business, because they are going to not only display that to all of your clients, but they're going to change that work atmosphere within the clinic itself. And, you know, it might seem like a bit of an over-dramatization, but you see this all the time in clinics where you've got one event that leads to one disgruntled employee that then complains to the other employees. And then that starts to kind of spiral. And as more and more events happen, more and more of the staff members become jaded against that clinic, against that boss, against that work environment. And then everybody starts getting upset and feeling not valued. And then that whole feeling of the clinic is palpable. It's palpable to possible new staff. So you're going to not be able to hire new staff. You're going to have higher staff turnover, and your clients are going to feel it. Your clients are going to understand when they walk in the door that people don't want to be there. So all of that leads to this huge emotional drain. And a lot of the times it stems from your staff not feeling safe, not feeling secure, not feeling supported, and not feeling valued. And one of the best ways to make your staff feel all those negative things is by taking a toxic client's opinion or stance over theirs. If you have a client that comes in yelling and being abusive, and instead of saying, you can't treat my staff that way, you can take your business elsewhere, you say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, here, we're going to do all of this for free, and then you say nothing to your staff, you're basically telling your staff to F off and you don't care. A recent example that I had of this, I was working in an emergency clinic, and I had a vet and nurse team call me, and they kept having to pass the phone off to one another because they were so upset that they were literally in tears and couldn't handle being on the phone. They had a tick paralysis dog that was quite severe, and they had a client that they were trying to refer it up to the emergency center. So they called us to get a quote, and that owner was also calling us and saying, oh, my dog's totally stable, what's a quote for just monitoring overnight? And then the clinic's calling us and saying, you know, this dog can barely breathe, it's probably going to need to be intubated. So two very different stories, obviously two very different quotes. And basically this client to these poor vet and nurse at this other clinic was yelling at them, telling them that she was going to call the police, telling them that they were terrible, they didn't care, that she refused to transfer the dog, but if the dog dies, she's going to sue them all, and just giving them no options, and they're doing their best. So they eventually call the boss. The boss ended up keeping that dog in hospital for 5 days on oxygen, and didn't charge the client a cent of it, and also at no point apologized to the staff members for having this person treat them like shit. He basically was just like, oh, it's fine, just do it for free and don't worry about it. And said nothing. Didn't, like, even if you're gonna do that, like, even if you're that boss and you're going, say you have the best intentions at heart, say your intentions are, I just want to save this dog, then you know what you do? You say, I'm really sorry that you had to deal with this lady, you don't need to talk to her again, I'm going to call her, I'm going to do all further communication, we shouldn't be doing this for her, however, for her dog's sake, I really want her dog to survive, so the clinic is going to eat the cost, but I'm so sorry that you had to deal with this situation, and it's not appropriate, and in the future, if someone treats you badly like that, just say, I'm sorry, we don't tolerate abuse, and call me and I will deal with the client. But did that manager do any of that? No, they did nothing. They basically just said, what's your problem? Came in, said, oh, we'll do it for free to the lady. Then the lady's nice as pie to the manager and the boss, of course, because he said they'll do it for free. And then just says, what's your problem? This lady's lovely. Like, that is not a good work environment. That is a place where you're going to have your staff disgruntled, you're going to have your staff not caring and not doing a good job, you're going to have your staff talking poorly about your clinic, so you're going to have trouble hiring new staff, you're going to have high staff turnover, and you're just going to have a terrible, terrible work environment. So it kind of leads in to the financial costs a little bit. You know, you can't completely separate them, but, you know, they're the financial costs. A happy staff leads to happy clients. So having happy staff is good for business because the clients can feel that happiness. The clients can feel that the staff are happy, they're happy to be there, they're working well, and they're going to have better communication, they're going to provide a better service if they feel supported and trusted. And that means that you're going to have less clients that are complaining in the first place, and you're going to provide better medicine. So it's better to make your staff happy, and that's going to roll over into making your clients happy. Another huge thing is staff turnover, especially in the veterinary world. You know, we are in this crisis of recruitment, meaning that a lot of clinics, like in Australia, you're looking at 12 to 24 months for a clinic to fill a vacancy. 1 to 2 years for a clinic to find a full-time vet to fill a job. Staff turnover is a huge problem. It's a huge cost when you need to hire someone. You're paying agencies, you're having to pay for locums to fill in those shifts. And you're also leading to a situation where the clients, every time they come into the clinic, are seeing a different vet, which they don't like. So when you have high staff turnover, the clients don't like that. They don't like that they're seeing a different person every day. And they also are smart enough to recognize that that means that you don't have a good work environment. You're going to lose clients when you have high staff turnover. So keeping your staff in your job is a really, really good idea. And if that means that you have to pay them more, if that means that you have to give them more CE, it's going to cost less than hiring a new staff and the good clients that you're going to lose. The next big thing that is bad for business financially with giving into these bad clients is they developed learned bad behavior. So when you have clients that complain about costs and the invoices, refuse to pay, constantly looking for discounts, and this happens after treatment, you know, they've agreed to a price, they signed a consent form, everything has been on the up and up, and then they just decide, oh, this is too much, I don't want to pay for it, and they complain. If you give in to that action, you're basically just giving candy to a kid having a temper tantrum. What do you think they're going to do next time? You just taught them you don't actually need to pay the bill. If you complain, even though you agreed to it, even though everything was as presented, even though we delivered the service at the agreed upon price, in the agreed upon timeline, if you complain, then you don't have to pay. That is what you are teaching these clients. And these clients that do this at your clinic do it everywhere in their life. You don't want those clients in your clinic. They are bad for business for all of the emotional reasons we talked about, but also just fiscally, they're bad for business. You don't want to teach those bad behaviors. So giving in to discounts, giving in to people that just don't want to pay is not appropriate, and it really devalues your service and it devalues your staff. The next big thing that we just kind of talked about is discounts devalue service. So think about it. When you go into a store, a clothing store, and you are looking at all the clothes on the racks or whatever, and then at the back of the shop, they have the discount rack. And, you know, the sweater's got a little piece of string that's coming off, or something has a bit of a stain, or it's a size that's either really, really tiny or really, really big. And those things are on sale. Why are they on sale? Because they're broken, they're damaged, they are less valuable than the other items in the store. When you give discounts, when you discount your services, you are telling the clients, we know that this is less valuable, so we're going to give it to you for less money. It's not a way to display value to your clients. It's not a way to show your clients that you value your associates. And when you give discounts to work that was agreed upon and work that was done well, you're basically telling your clients, you know, if your associate did it, you're telling your clients, my associate's not valuable. My associate's opinion, my associate's brain, my associate's medical processing is not valuable. And what do you think that does in the future when that client has to come in and see your associate? It completely discredits anything that your associate does for that client in the future. It devalues your services to the client, and it gives the perception overall that you're overcharging because, oh, whatever, you ask for a discount, you can get a discount, we're overcharging, so we have a surplus of money to give you a deal. You know, these are not the messages that you want to be displaying for your clinic. What you want to be displaying for your clinic is that you have honest and fair prices, that you provide a good, solid, up-to-date service, and that you value the service that you're providing and that your client should value that as well. Another big thing that I think a lot of people don't take into account is that time and energy are worth money. How many hours do you spend on the phone dealing with emails, dealing with boards, dealing with stupid little lawsuits with these annoying clients? And how much time and energy do you spend lying in bed at night, being angry about it, thinking about it, stressing about it? If you could take that time and energy and put it into generating income into your practice, say even you spend 3 hours with a client complaint, and let's be honest, we all know that when a client complains, it's going to be more than 3 hours because they want to yell on the phone for you for probably at least an hour. Then they want to have multiple conversations. Then you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're going to be pissed off about it later in the evening. Then you're going to have a conversation. Then you're going to have to write a letter, all of this crap. So say 3 hours worth of your time. You could do 3 spays in that time. How much do you charge for a spay? You know, it depends on the clinic. 300, 1,000. It really, there's a big variability. But you're talking about like at least $1,000 that you could be making in those 3 hours that you were dealing with that client. Is that client really worth it? Because if they complained and they were that much of a stone in your shoe this time, you don't think they're going to do it next time? They are. They're going to do it next time. So it's just not worth it. You need to factor in your time and your energy because those are worth money. Another really, really big issue that happens when you give discounts and when you cap bills or when you don't charge for things to these clients is what I like to call learned undercharging. What you're doing is you are telling your associates, oh, that person complained, just do it for free. Oh, that person complained, just don't charge them. Oh, you're not sure about that, just do it. You're teaching your associates that either their brain isn't worth it, so the diagnostics that they did on the case and what they felt was medically appropriate wasn't worth it because you discounted it, or you're teaching them that if a client complains, you just give it for free. So what are they going to do next time? You think they're going to properly charge the second they hit a little bit of adversity? No, they're not going to stand up for themselves. They're just going to say, okay, I'm going to do that for free. So now every single case that comes in, they're going to underestimate, they're going to undercharge, and they're not going to stand up for themselves and value themselves because you've taught them not to. You've taught them the way to deal with this is to just discount all your services. So if you take a $1,000 bill and there's an emotional component to that $1,000 bill, you know, your associate vet saw the case, gave an estimate, they signed an estimate, everything was on the up and up, and then that client complained just because they felt like it, and you discounted it to $700 instead of $1,000, you're thinking, oh, $300, not a big deal. Well, that's 30%. What have you taught your associate? You have taught your associate, I can discount everything 30% from now on. And you might think that this is an exaggeration. It's not. I literally had this exact conversation a couple weeks ago with a colleague that had that exact scenario in one of the clinics where she locums. And she's just like, well, why do I bother trying to charge appropriately when they're just going to discount? Well, next time I'll just do it for less. And it really is this learned undercharging because you're not showing your staff that they are valuable, that their brain is valuable, that the diagnostics are valuable, that the tests are valuable, that the treatments are valuable. You need to support your staff and support that value. Otherwise, they're going to realize, well, the boss would just do it for free, so I'll just do it for free. So putting those things together, what you need to recognize is that clients that are constantly complaining, constantly wanting discounts despite the services being performed as described, at the rate described, they're not worth it. They're emotional tolls on your clinic. They're going to cause negative feelings towards the boss, towards the manager, towards the clinic by your staff. And they're huge financial money-sucking leeches, and you should fire them. And it is good for business financially to get rid of those clients. All right, so let's pretend at this point you're on board and you're a manager and you're saying, yes, okay, you've convinced me. I know that I should fire clients. I have, issues in my clinic. how do I know which clients to fire? Because not every client that complains, not every client that, you know, comes to the manager with an issue is one that should be fired. You know, you're looking at a situation where sometimes the clinic does mess up. And when the clinic messes up, we should own up to that and we should take responsibility. Sometimes staff are rude. Sometimes waits are inappropriate. Sometimes client communication is inappropriate. So every time you get a complaint, you should evaluate it and determine whether or not it is real and appropriate. So it's hard sometimes to distinguish, you know, which of these clients really should be fired and which of these clients' complaints should be addressed and your team should be fixed. And I'll do another blog and podcast later about the six A's of managing complaints. But today we're going to talk about signs that you should fire a client. So I've got 10 signs for you. The first one is obvious: physical threats. Any client that threatens to physically harm any of your staff should be fired. No exceptions. It's not okay for your staff to be scared for their physical safety in your clinic. And some of you may think, oh, that doesn't happen. It happens. It happens, unfortunately, all too often. So that should be a no-brainer. The next thing is business threats. Clients that are constantly threatening to slander you on social media, take you to the board, sue you. You know, if you have a client when you've done everything right and they are just looking for a fight for whatever reason. I recently had a case where these two older dogs came in and they were dribbling urine. They were a bit ataxic. They looked like a classic marijuana toxicity. My colleague saw the case and chatted with the owners. They swore up and down no way that it could possibly have gotten into marijuana. If it was marijuana, it was pretty mild. Like, they probably would have been okay. But you just don't know with a toxin. You don't know what part of the curve of that toxin you're on. But she swore up and down, no, there's no way that there's possibly a toxin. So my colleague offered, you know, to make them vomit because they were still neurologically well enough to do that. Activated charcoal fluids and monitoring and blood work to see. And of course, the lady had no money. She was apparently applying for zip money and vet pay and all of those things. And she said she applied for those things, but when we called to check up to try to help her out, they said that she hadn't applied. It was all very messy, but at the end of the day, she basically had no money. The dogs had been in our clinic for probably 3 hours now being monitored closely. They weren't neurologically declining at all. So she was told the consult fee on the phone. She didn't bring enough for even one dog to be examined, never mind two. So we just told her that we can't provide services for free and we sent her on her way. And she calls back later and she just goes off about how she's going to slander us on social media. We did nothing wrong. We offered everything. We gave her prices. Her dogs got free monitoring for 3 hours, which I think is pretty good considering, you know, you probably would have seen a decline or not. We tried to explain that on the phone to her, but she just wasn't having it. She just wanted to hate us. And, you know, she's the type of client that is just not worth it. You know that in no situation is she going to be a good client. She's going to threaten, even when you do nothing wrong, she's going to threaten every single time, trying to get discounts, trying to get things without paying. And that is, it's a manipulation tactic. These are bullies, and it's a huge, huge red flag, and you should just fire those clients. They're not worth your time. The other threats that you want to look for are the little subtle threats. So these are clients that often use being upset as a guise for being manipulative. And it's hard because there are a lot of clients that are truly upset, and we do have to take a little bit of that into account. You know, every client that's upset, we can't fire them. But the clients that are upset, but then they throw in those subtle little lines, like they have your number, or they're asking for the full spelling of your last name. They are trying to get your registration number. They might trying to word you and force you into making 100% guarantees on things, whether it's financial or recovery of their animal. They try to get you to make ultimatums like, oh, so your clinic is the best place. So you're telling me that there's no other clinic that would be better for my pet. And, you know, when they're trying to get you to say these finite lines, 100% guarantees, things like that, those are signs that this is going to be someone that's going to be an issue ongoing. And oftentimes when they speak to a new person, they're absolutely lovely until they hit the point, and then they don't like that person anymore. And then they talk to the next person. So every time you hand over, they're like, oh, you're saying, you know, watch out, make sure you document communication, blah, blah, blah. And then the next person is like, oh, they were lovely, what are you talking about? And then the next time you talk to them, they're like, oh yeah, they definitely turned a corner. So, you know, it is a manipulation tactic that people use. And, or, you know, another subtle thing is if they're trying to get you to blame someone else, whether it's your colleague or whether it's their other vet, like if you're working in an emergency center, trying to get you to blame their GP vet. Those are signs that, you know, maybe this isn't a client that you want to have long term. The next sign is someone that is constantly, constantly, constantly digging for discounts, despite, you know, a case being resolved, either positively or negatively. You know, if they were told everything up front, their estimates were all within range. These people that are just constantly calling, trying to get discounts, are ones that are not going to be valuing your service long term. And if you give in once, you're going to give in again and again, because it's going to be harder to justify not giving a discount next time when you've done it before. So it's, you know, if you have one of those clients, sometimes it's just worth it to say, you know, maybe this isn't a client for your clinic. Another one are clients that are just never happy no matter what you do. You know, you can have the dog that comes in dying with a GDV and you do surgery, you save it, it goes home the next day, $1,000 under budget, and they call and complain and want money off because the shaved line wasn't straight. You know these clients. These clients are ones that are just going to be toxic no matter what you do, and they just do anything to complain, to try to belittle the staff so that they are on that upper hand. It's another manipulation tactic, you know, not being happy with part of the service to try to make you feel like you did something wrong so that they have the upper hand to try to get a discount or something like that. Another big obvious one, anyone that is racist, misogynistic, homophobic, sexually abusive or sexually assaulting, these clients, without saying, should go. You know, if you have a client that is coming in and constantly making inappropriate sexual comments to your staff, or, you know, issues about sexual orientation or gender, just get rid of them. This is not something that we should be tolerating in this day and age. The next big point is, but my breeder said, you know, these clients, the ones that want to dictate the medicine that is performed because they think they have a better understanding of the case than you do. They think that they know better because either their breeder told them or their Facebook group told them, or, you know, whatever, they've done it before, and they're always coming and they always have medications for some reason. So they come in for a condition and they're like, oh, but I already gave this, this, and this. You're like, how do you have steroids? How do you have antibiotics? How do you have all of these things? And they're just constantly doing medicine without your advice. They're coming to you only because they feel they need a script or a particular procedure they can't do, but they want to dictate what's going on. If a client is not going to trust in your services and wants to play vet, let them do it at another clinic. The next big one are repeated offenders. If a client has repeatedly not paid their bills, fire them. You can't work for free. Your business will fail. You can try to set up an agreement that once the bills are paid in full, then they can come back to the clinic. But the reality is, if you continually let clients get away with not paying their bills, why would they pay them in the future? They're not going to. So, you know, you can have payment plans that you set up with clients and that's fine. But if they don't, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, fool me once, shame on you, fool me once, shame on me. If you set up a payment plan with someone and then they don't pay, don't set up another payment plan for them. You need to fire these clients because your business cannot work for free. The next big one is anyone that is emotionally abusive. So these are the clients that try the "you don't care about the animals" line, you want to see them die, you're only in it for the money, All of these things are incredibly negatively impactful on your staff. And even if you as a boss or a manager are like, oh, whatever, they're just stupid, your staff are feeling it. Your staff are feeling it hard. So you need to get rid of these clients that are implying that your staff don't care about the animals, because that's the only reason your staff are there. So they're ones that you just need to either, you know, have a conversation and say, this is not okay, we won't tolerate it again. But if they do it again, you need to get them out. The last section, or the last group of people, is what I call the miscellaneous group. No list is ever going to cover every type of crazy that exists. There are clients that are just downright batshit crazy. Some are, you know, drug addicts. Some come in and try to use you as a personal therapist or financial planner or assistant. You know, you have, I've had clients that come in and they want to do Reiki instead of giving antibiotics for their septic patient. You know, there's so many types of crazies out there. And even if they're not mean, if they're just so crazy that it doesn't align with your feel and your approach to your clinic, if you are a very, you know, Western-based medicine clinic and you follow evidence-based medicine and you have a client that really, really is into Chinese traditional medicine and, you know, alternative therapies, your staff are not going to mesh well. Even if you're okay to tolerate that, at some point, your staff members and your associate vets are then going to have to deal with that client. And when that client is like, no, I don't think that my dog needs antibiotics, even though it's got severe pneumonia or whatever, it's not going to fly well. So, you know, if clients are just not aligning with the way you practice medicine in your clinic, that might be a reason to fire them as well. And in general, you know, there's Pareto's principle where 20% of your effort is going to lead to 80% of the profits in your clinic, and 80% of your effort is for that 20%. If 80% of your effort is on 20% of your clients, and if 80% of your complaints come from 20% of your clients, why would you spend such a big chunk? Why wouldn't you focus more effort and energy trying to increase the portion of your pie on the clients and the service that are going to get good results? So if you apply that Pareto's 80-20 principle and rule to your business, then you're going to really focus on which clients that are just not worth it and aren't bringing in anything to your clinic. And you're going to realize that your time and energy can be spent elsewhere growing your business and bringing in good new clients instead of trying to cater and pander to these toxic clients just to try to hold them on. All right, the last section of this podcast is how to fire clients. So say you're a manager, you're like, yep, you've convinced me. I know that they're toxic. I've identified which clients I want to fire. How do you do it? How do you actually go about firing clients? We don't like confrontation in general as a rule in terms of veterinarians. We don't like confrontation with our staff. We don't like it with clients. We don't like it with anything. We just want to save animals and then go home and be happy that we've saved an animal. That's what we want. So having to go about firing a client, having to have that hard conversation, is never going to be easy. It's never going to be a pleasant experience, but there are ways that you can do it that make it less upsetting and less stressful. And what you need to really focus on is just to always be professional. Don't dwell on anything, you know, don't get into a back and forth. Just be concise, professional, and just a complete break. You know, you can't have a grayscale situation. So in the blog, and I'll go through it now as well, I've identified a few different scenarios because it's not always going to be the same. So the first scenario is if you have a currently hospitalized patient. So this is a client, this is a patient or the client who has a pet that is actively sick and is in hospital. It needs to be on fluids. It needs to be on IV medications, whatever. But this client is being incredibly abusive. You know, these are the scenarios where they're being physically threatening, where they're being incredibly emotionally abusive. You know, these aren't for the little argument things. These are for clients that you just need to get them out of your clinic now because it's just not okay. So firstly, if at all you can, call a manager or call the owner, and preferably someone that is unrelated to the case. So if you have a bunch of people working on this animal and they've been dealing with this jerk for the past 2 days, to have one of those people then in charge of trying to have a conversation of firing this client with this client, that's going to be really hard. If you can get someone that hasn't been involved, that isn't emotionally charged, that isn't emotionally involved and invested, that's going to be really helpful. And you want to get the highest level of authority that you can. So whether that's the boss or the manager, you want someone that has authority and seniority in the clinic. Make sure you have a witness present for all of your conversations. If you do record any conversations, make sure that you've informed the owner of that first. You cannot secretly record conversations without informing them. So, you know, I've written a little blurb in the podcast that you can use, and I'll just read it out here. Hello, Mr. Smith. I know that Fluffy is currently in hospital with us, and there have been some complications regarding your satisfaction with the level of care we're providing. I feel it would be best for all involved for you to transfer Fluffy to another hospital for ongoing care. We do not feel that it is in our staff's or your best interest to continue with Fluffy's care here. There are many clinics in the area in which you can transfer Fluffy, or if you would prefer, we can transfer Fluffy for you. Please let us know which clinic you would like Fluffy transferred to, and we will send the complete medical record to ensure Fluffy continues to get the care he needs. We will need this decision to be made along with either your collection of Fluffy or the clinic in which you would like us to transfer Fluffy to within the next 2 hours. The final invoice here is whatever dollars. You can either pay that now, or if you prefer, we can send you a bill in the mail. When you're having this conversation, you have said, it's obvious that you're unsatisfied, it's not in your best interest or our staff's best interest to continue care. You know, whether or not you offer to transfer the animal to another center is a little bit of a gray region, because if then that owner doesn't show up to that other clinic, are you stuck with the bill? So you'd really have to kind of call the other clinic that you're sending it to ahead of time and have a conversation with them. It's better if the owner comes and picks up Fluffy. And if you don't want to offer transfer yourself, then you can. But, you know, if the client isn't in the clinic currently and you don't want to see them again because they're being physically abusive, or you're worried they're going to be physically abusive, you can either call the police or you can offer to transfer them to another clinic. In these conversations, it's not a negotiation, it's not a bargain, it's not an argument. You know, there was no grayscale in there. And if you are a manager and you can't come into the clinic yourself, you know, really instruct your staff that you're exactly what to say. You know, you need to let them know that they can just say, you know, we're not allowed to talk about this. All we can do is hand you over Fluffy. Don't force them to get money from anyone that can be aggressive. Just send them a bill in the mail and make sure that you have documented everything. Record, record, record. Have everything clearly and completely in detail about all of the conversations and leading up and why you had to transfer that patient. The next scenario is if you have a current client that is not a hospitalized patient. So this is, you know, more for general practices, and you just have had that client and it's just, you know, they've hit that straw that broke the camel's back and you're done and you know I need to fire them. You should give the client at least kind of 2 weeks to find another clinic. So you want to write them a certified or registered letter, and you want to get something called a return receipt. And this means that you have proof that they have received and signed for the letter. So they can't say at any point, oh, I didn't get it. So that's really important. So you write a letter that you send to them. And in the letter, you don't need to give them any details aside from we won't be serving you anymore. So for example, you want to say something like, Dear Mr. Smith, it has become apparent that you no longer feel that our team at Pet Palace Animal Hospital is providing you the care and service you're looking for in regard to your pets, and list all of their pets' names, because you don't want them coming with one patient and not with another. For this reason, we feel it is best for you to seek veterinary care at a different hospital for all of your pets in the future. We will continue to provide veterinary care for up until 2 weeks from now. After this point, we will no longer be able to accommodate your veterinary needs. Please let us know which clinic you choose to take all of your pets to, and we will send over the medical records. Currently, you have an outstanding balance with our clinic of so much money. We have mailed you an invoice. Please pay by whatever date, you know, maybe give them 6 weeks. Beyond this time, we will send the invoice to collections. Thank you for your time with our clinic, and we hope for the best for yourself and all of your animals. So, you know, with this, you're not getting into details. You're saying that the reason that you're not providing care is because they're unhappy with your service. And in reality, if someone is constantly complaining and it's an issue, then that's the problem. If they are not wanting to pay, if they're being abusive, they're unhappy with your service. And you can write it that way because that's the reality. If they were happy with your service and were happy to pay you and not treat you like crap, you wouldn't be firing them. Make sure you're recording everything in the notes, explaining what was said and why. You have a copy of the letter in the medical record, and, you know, have a blurb why your clinic came to this decision. But you know, that's something that you can do. And then you can even say in there, we'll only provide care for emergencies in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, you need to give them time. One of the rights for animals is to have access to a veterinarian. And as a veterinarian, you have a responsibility to make sure that they have access to a clinic. But if you give them 2 weeks, that's more than enough. The last scenario are kind of new walk-in clients, and this is more applicable to kind of the emergency clinic setting, or if you're a GP and you just have a new client that walks in. If they're abusive and belittling, and, you know, you can just tell from the get-go that they are just not going to be a good client, then just state that to them. You know, in the appointment, you can just say, Mr. Smith, it's apparent you don't feel that the service I'm providing is what you would like for Fluffy. I'm sorry about this, as Fluffy's lovely. I would love to be part of his care. However, due to our interactions so far, I don't feel that your attitude towards the service that I am providing and offering is appropriate, and I don't feel comfortable continuing with his treatment at this point. Here's a list of other local hospitals where you might find better suited care for your ideas and expectations for Fluffy. You know, don't charge them a consult. Just get them to take their pet and go. Just say, I don't feel comfortable. You're obviously unhappy with our service. I don't feel that we're going to be able to provide a situation and a relationship that is going to be in Fluffy's best interest. So I think you should take Fluffy elsewhere. And it's just, once again, make sure that you put it in your medical records. But it's as simple as that. You can just say, I don't feel comfortable. You as a professional are not required to treat any animal that you don't want to. You can give them pain relief, always get permission first, especially from these crazy people, but you can send them elsewhere, and that's fine. And you need to do that for your own self-worth. So in the blog, there's all these little blurbs written up that you can go and look at as an example, but it's, I think once you do it once, you'll find it quite freeing. Any clinic that has then gone to that has, you know, never fired a client, had this big wall against it, and then had all of these negative clients. And then they finally get to the point where they fire one. The biggest reaction that you get is, oh my gosh, that would, like, this feels so good. And it feels good to take into control your own business, take into control how your staff are treated, take into control how your services are valued, because that's the point of this. The point is to make sure that you are directing your services and spending your time and effort with clients that are appreciating, respecting the service that you're providing. And that allows you to provide the service that you want instead of trying to pander to these crazy people that have no idea what they're talking about. So if you've never fired a client before, give it a go, see how it feels, and definitely, you know, make sure that you're valuing your staff, make sure that you're supporting your staff and giving them a work environment where they feel safe, they feel secure, because it will make a world of difference in how they act, how they provide services, and it's going to make a big financial difference to your bottom line for lots of different reasons. Thank you so much. I know that was a long one. I appreciate that you have stuck out to the end with me. And as always, advocate for yourself. You are the only one that will, and we will see you next time. Thanks so much. Bye.